It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is required to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith, expressing itself through love. You are running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, this is one of the great verses of Scripture, isn't it? As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and chop the whole thing off.
Right.
Paul is telling us about running a race. Now, we have our church text for the year. Over here, let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And that was the text of our sermon last Sunday. I hope it's going to be a text that we can come back to again and again through the year. We were seeing last week, for those of you who weren't able to be here, you know, that being a Christian, being a believer in Jesus, is not about saying, right, I believe and therefore sometime I'm going to go to heaven. It's about entering into the great race now. God has given us this race to run. And last week we started to learn from what it means to run a race as to what it means to be a Christian. So we were saying things last week like, you know, athletes don't carry around unnecessary baggage. Athletes get rid of what they don't need to carry. We were seeing especially last week this thing about perseverance, that an athlete has to keep going for the whole race. We run the race with endurance. And if any of you are flagging in your Christian faith, if any of you are thinking, this is hard, this is difficult, I'm tempted to give up, please can I commend to you the sermon from last Sunday. So we looked at running this race with endurance. Now, over the Sundays in January, we're looking at what I've called the Olympic texts, the texts that are on this theme of competitive sport in the Bible. And we've got a different one today. This is from Galatians 5, and it's where Paul says to the Galatians, you are running a good race, who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? Now, there are many Olympic heroes from over the years, and we might think of Steve Redgrave being British as perhaps being the greatest Olympian of them all. As Christians, we might want to give a special cheer for Eric Liddell, who switched his race so he didn't have to race on a Sunday and ended up with the gold medal. But one Olympic hero is a chap, I don't know how many of you will remember this man's name. His name was Wanderlei de Lima. Does anybody remember who Wanderlei de Lima was? Anybody got any clues? Oh, you are shaking your heads at me today. No one knows. 2004 Olympics. That narrows it down a bit. 8 years ago. The event, the marathon. Anybody remembering now? Nobody watched the marathon at the 2004 Olympics? Well, you might have done. Okay. Wanderlei de Lima, who is from Brazil, was in front in the marathon. A few seconds ahead of all of his competitors. When suddenly, for some reason that defies any sort of logic, somebody dressed in an Irish costume jumped out. Nobody remember this? Oh, you're getting it now, yeah? Somebody in an Irish, and unfortunately, in one of these great moments when you're embarrassed to be a Christian, had a message about the second coming of Christ on the back of his shirt. Great advertising that is. He jumped out and he pushed at Wanderlei de Lima right off the track, with the result that another athlete overtook him. Happily, one member of the crowd pulled this guy in the Irish costume off Wanderlei de Lima, and he was able to continue running. But he lost 15 seconds because of being pushed off the track. And when it came to the final straight, the first athlete came down. I can't remember the name of the person who won. Anyway, the first athlete came down onto the track, took the gold medal. The second athlete came down to take the silver medal. And then now in the bronze position, Wanderlei de Lima came into the stadium, waving to the crowd to take the bronze medal. There is a special sports medal that's called the Pierre de Coubertin medal, which is very rarely awarded for sportsmanship. And Wanderlei de Lima was awarded that medal because of the whole way that he handled what happened to him. He never complained. He never gave interviews saying how angry he was at what happened. It certainly wasn't possible to run the race again. I mean, I guess, you know, had it been the 100 meters, they could have delayed it a day and done it again, but you can't do that in a marathon. The marathon's on the last day of the Olympic Games anyway. So this man was pushed right off track, with the result that he went from gold to bronze. That's something like what Paul is talking about in the letter to the Galatians. He says, you were running a good race. You were doing well. And Paul is so enthusiastic about how they were doing when he first met them. I mean, Paul says, when I first met you, I was ill. You looked after me. You cared for me. You had done anything for me. You listened to what I had to say. You responded to it. You became believers. And if we think of the Christian life as being a race, you set off very well. But then suddenly, somebody pushed you right off the track. And the problem the Galatians had wasn't about enduring the race. It wasn't that they'd lost their enthusiasm. They were still running. The problem was they were just running in the wrong direction. So Paul is saying to them, I need to pull you back. I need to get you back onto the course that Jesus has set for you. You have got things here most seriously wrong. And that's why Paul is so angry. The letter of Galatians has sometimes been called Paul's angry letter. He is so distraught that these people started with Jesus, but then moved away from the gospel that Paul had preached. Now, the specific arguments, we're not going to go into too much detail on these this morning. The specific arguments were about circumcision, and they were about the law. For those of us who've been doing Romans in house groups, it seems that what the Galatians were being told was very similar to the thing that Paul's arguing about in Romans. So I hope that those of us who've been studying Romans in house group will have a much better understanding of the argument that was going on there. And as we've been looking at Romans, we've had this continual insistence to the point that in my house group, I can just start the sentence and they complete it. You know, the Bible says that we are saved by... Oh, come on, house group. Well, the Bible says that we are saved by, well, faith. Go on, this is Romans. Romans, faith. And not by obeying the... Very good. See, you know that. Most of us, anyway. But these people who've been running this great race suddenly are pushed off course. And Paul changes the picture for a moment to say how important it is. He says to them, you've been persuaded. Now, the word persuasion is a word from the legal system. It's like you're in a court case and you've got this lawyer who's arguing a case and he's very persuasive. And Paul's saying, look, this man may be persuasive, but he's telling you to go the wrong way. Or he says a little yeast works through the dough. You put yeast into the dough, the whole thing rises. You don't have to add much. And Paul's saying to the Galatians, this stuff that you're being taught about the law and about circumcision, it might look as if it's only a very small tweak on what I've been teaching you, but actually it's knocking you completely off course. So this is the second lesson from my Olympic text. The first one, we need to run with endurance. The second one is we've got to stay on track. Now, the good news today is I guess I don't need to persuade the men here that they don't need to be circumcised. I really doubt that that is an issue for many of us. So therefore, I'm not going to go into that in detail. But what I want to look at is what Paul says to them. The positive thing that he says to them that they've got to do, where he says in verse 6, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So there are two things that Paul is saying to them here. What matters is faith, faith as expressed through love. How do we stay on track? How do we stay on the course that Jesus has given to us? Number one, it's about faith. Number two, it is about expressing that faith through love. And both of these things are very important. We don't want to be bundled off the track. We don't want to be like that man who's running the Olympics and suddenly finds that he's not on the course anymore. We say we have this determination. It is about faith in Jesus, and it is about expressing that through our love. Now, it'd be a good exercise at some point to read Paul's letter to the Galatians, see what's winding him up so much. But one of the themes that he keeps coming back to in this letter is the importance of faith. A person is justified by faith in Jesus Christ, he says. The life that I live in my body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Understand, he says, that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham. The righteous will live by faith. By faith, we receive the promise of the Spirit. What was promised is given through faith in Jesus Christ to those who believe. You are all children of God through faith. Through the Spirit, we eagerly await by faith the righteousness in which we hope. And then Galatians 5:6. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Let me now say something that is so obvious it shouldn't need to be said, but it's easily missed. The church is the community of people who have faith in Jesus. That's what it's about. That's why we are here today. We might have other things that we want to do today. Some of us might want to meet up with our brothers and sisters. Hallelujah, because we are a community of faith. Some of you might come because the things you want to do to serve today, you want to play a musical instrument. I was going to say you want to work with the kids, but some weeks you might be doing that, or maybe the people who are working with the kids now are listening on the recording. There are other things you might come for, but at the heart of everything, this is about faith in Jesus. We believe that Jesus is Lord. We believe that God raised him from the dead. We believe he is coming again. We believe that he sends his Holy Spirit to the church. We believe that he is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. The problem that Paul has as he writes to the Galatians is some people were saying something like this. Yes, that's all very good. It's all very good that you have this faith in Jesus, but there are other things that you need to do. The men need to be circumcised. You need to start keeping the Sabbath. You need to start doing this, that, and the other. And Paul says, no, absolutely not. What we must do is have faith in Jesus. The government offered nowadays talks about faith communities. Well, let us glory in that title. We are a community of faith. And that means that faith must stay at the absolute center of everything that we do. It's years ago now since we created what we called our church ethos statement, and we probably haven't thought enough about it since. But when we published this ethos statement, there were a couple of texts that we said were key to what we are as a church. One was the sentence that said, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And that's the text that goes on to talk about Jesus becoming a servant, Jesus dying, Jesus rising again, God declaring that Jesus is Lord, and God setting him up so that we and everybody else will do the same. We said that we wanted to get our attitude from Jesus. The church is not just about a group of people who want to do some good things, although it most definitely is that, but that's not where we start. We start by saying it's about Jesus. It's about our belief in these things, and it's about us saying our attitude is going to be the same as his. That's a responsibility for us to carry, isn't it? That to each other, our attitude should be the same as that of Christ. That to this school, our attitude should be the same as that of Christ. That to this community, our attitude should be the same as that of Christ. And we go out from here to the places where we work, our attitude should be the same as that of Christ, who made himself nothing and became a servant. It starts from Jesus. We are a community of faith. Let us resolve that in 2012, we will not move one inch from this, but we will hold on to saying that Jesus is absolutely at the center of this church. I love the fact that we sang that song earlier on today. Jesus, be the center. Be the fire in my heart. Be the wind in these sails, inviting him to come and to let his Holy Spirit come and move through the church again. It's not about Jesus and something else. It's not about Jesus and obeying the law. It's not about Jesus and doing circumcision. It's not about Jesus and whatever else we would add. It's not about Jesus and coming to church. It's not about Jesus and going to house group. It's not about Jesus and what you do on a particular day of the week. It's about Jesus. And it is about faith in him. And if there is anybody who believes that, then that person is my brother and sister and your brother and sister, no matter who they are, no matter what they do, they believe in Jesus, and so do I. And so today, we're family as church because of our faith in Jesus, and we're family with all the other churches in this town. We will stay close to Jesus. Jesus will be at the center of our lives. The thing that counts, Paul says, the only thing that counts is faith in Jesus. We trust him totally for our lives. But the only thing that counts, Paul says, is faith expressing itself through love. Alliance magazine for this quarter. And there's an interview with a chap who's going to be the president of the Baptist Union of Great Britain from May. And by the way, this year's Baptist Assembly is in London over the May Day bank holiday weekend. So it's much easier to get to for us this year than it's been for years. And Chris Duffett is going to be one of the speakers. Tony Campolo is going to be there. And there's going to be some other really good speakers as well. But Chris Duffett is a Baptist minister from Peterborough. He's an out-and-out evangelist at heart. And one of his trademarks is that he finds creative ways to express the gospel to people. One of the things that he and some folks from his church did was they sort of went out into Peterborough and they got this red carpet and they put this red carpet out on the street and they said to folks, would you like to walk on our red carpet to show how special you are? Because we want you to know that God thinks that you are Special. Interesting facial reactions at this point, ranging from ah to almost being sick. How fascinating. But that's what they did. And they just said to people, God thinks you're special. Come and walk on our red carpet. Another one that he does is he goes round with a thing that says free hugs, just to show that God loves you. And the reporter from the magazine says, you know, some people said no, but actually I was very surprised at how many people said yes. Now, I'm not suggesting that you personally need to go out into Brentwood or Pilgrim's Hatch tomorrow and offer people free hugs. But the point of it is, here is somebody who is saying to the community around him, Jesus loves you, and I want to show you that love. Paul says, it's not just faith that counts, but faith that is expressed in love. I'd like to read you a poem that Chris Duffett has written. Sort of poem, anyway. I think it's inspired on the text, which talks about always being ready to give an answer for the hope that you have. This is called Questioned Christian. I want to be a questioned Christian, a provoke hope type of one. Not a pain in the neck, annoying, or a sigh as I walk in the room, but a spark off questions follower. A tell me the answer walker. I long to be a questioned Christian, that others would ask me for the reasons. Those who despair all around me, broken, bruised, battered by life's journey, may seek the one who oozes healing balm through the hope that dwells deep down, flowing from the core of my very being. I long to be a questioned Christian, geared up, prepared, not ashamed to say or cover it up kind of one, but to reveal the untamable, unimaginable, despite the heart acheable. So I want to be a questioned Christian. A ready, steady, go, on your marks and get run kind of one, filled with a new strength to simply tell the reason for the hope that I am. Some good stuff in this article. But the thing I want to draw out from it today is that faith must be expressed. And it must be expressed in the love that we have for the people around us. That it must be expressed for the people who love, for the way rather, that we love the community. Lots of things going on for that. Last week I was told I didn't mention Moses' basket enough. So I'm going to start by mentioning that this week. I praise God for everybody in this church who has got anything to do with Moses' basket, or whoever in the past has had something to do with it. Because this is love in action. This is about us saying to people who've got little children, we care. It's about saying the church cares. It's about saying to them, do you know, we are compelled by Christ's love. We must love because Jesus loved, and he believed in love, and we want to be like him. Maybe there are other ways that that work is going to develop in the near future. But whatever it is you are doing church-wise, whether it's the seniors' work, whether it's the toddler group, by the way, that there are new opportunities coming up to do things within this school. The school is looking for people to help them with a number of tasks at the moment. If you might be interested in doing that, you need to be committed to doing things regularly. Can't promise it's possible for you. Got to be CRB checked and all of that stuff. And you know, there's obviously got to be a job that fits. But have a word with me, and it might be possible to get something going. Because this school needs to be loved. This school needs to know that we're not just somebody who's hiring the hall, but we are here to serve and to love. It'd be lovely if we could do more with children again as a church family. We're not doing as much as we used to. We're very grateful to everybody who's worked so hard in the past. But what is God telling us that we should do now? And what about the places that we go to tomorrow? By the way, one of the things we want to look at the church members meeting is to think again about the stuff that we learnt at the church weekend and to say, right, how do we as a church take this a step further? How do we go about putting this into practice? So if you're a member, please come and be part of that discussion on Tuesday night. Faith that matters is faith that is expressed in love. James, writing in his letter, says, I'll show you my faith by what I do. Jesus has come to me. Jesus has changed my life. I know what it is to be loved because I have met love in Jesus Christ. And because I love him, I will express that love to other people in practical ways. FaithWorks, fantastic organization, really trying to get this message over to the government. Because often what happens when Christian groups are looking for funding is that, yes, they want our practical care, but they don't want our faith. And this way of trying to say to the authorities, but it's our faith that inspires us. You can't have the Christian love without the faith that motivates it. Now, that doesn't mean that tomorrow you ram the gospel down somebody's throat. What it does mean is that tomorrow you love. It means that when you go to work tomorrow, you say, how can I be Jesus in this place today? How can the fact that I have faith in Jesus make a difference here? What can I do that's going to show this place the love of Jesus? And if you haven't got a clue what to do about that, and often we don't, but if you haven't got a clue what to do, talk to people. Get people to pray for you. Pray yourself. Say, Lord, lead me. Show me how I can love people. Getting back to Chris Duffett, the interviewer reports, you know, that as he just walked along the street, the thing that Chris Duffett was doing to love the people that he saw, there were some people who were doing a bit of filming, and Chris Duffett went over and helped them. There was a poor man who wanted a cup of tea, and not only did Chris Duffett say, I will get you a cup of tea, but he actually remembered in detail the sort of tea that this man liked. Did he like milk? Did he like sugar? How much sugar did he want? Quite a lot, it seems. And he presents this cup of tea. And in that cup of tea is the love of a Savior who died upon a cross 2,000 years ago for us and is resurrected today. Staying on track, staying on course, is about loving. Faith in Jesus expressing itself through our love. Let's be followers of Jesus. Let's stay on track. Let's not allow anybody to push us off the track that God has given us to run in. Let's pray together.